Welcome to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this spirit-filled message, that it blesses your week and brings you joy and perspective. To connect with us, hop on social media, and for more information, head to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
Tonight, thank you, Phil.
Yeah, come on, let's give God a hand this evening. The Holy Ghost. Thank you. What a pleasure it is to be here at Kingdom Culture Church for the first Sunday in 2019. You know what that means? That means I'm another year older. Getting closer and closer to meeting my Lord. Hey, what a pleasure it is to be here. It really was quite a miraculous time when I met Pastor Rob and Pastor Fred at the Holy Spirit Conference at Life Point Church in Adelaide, and we were going through a season of just wondering what the future held for us at that time, and Pastor Rob spoke a word that was straight into that season and was right on the money. So thank you, Pastor Rob. Let's give a hand for your senior pastors. So I serve at Life Point Church. Sarah and I, we're a part of the pastoral team there. David and Donna Hall send their love and their regards. And I know David speaks so highly of the Porters, so much so that he's trying to steal Fred Porter from you. No, he's not. Fred's there at Life Point tonight, so we've done a bit of a switcheroo. And Fred's bringing the Word and bringing the Holy Ghost to Life Point Church tonight. And they're going to have a great time. You know, I'm really looking forward to bringing a word tonight that I feel will set up your 2019. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to go into 2019 in the same way that I did 2018. You know, I don't want to be living in the old things. I don't want to be living the way that I did. But I want to come into 2019 set up, on fire for God, ready to change my community, ready to see my family saved, ready to see my friends and my workplace impacted for the hand of God. Is anyone else with me tonight? Is anyone else? You see, we don't want to see just another system. We don't want to see just another process, but we want to see a move of God, a move of God that will shake the north side of Brisbane, and we'll see people flocking and we'll see people coming. And as we were worshiping Pastor Rob, I really got an impression that this church is being built for the future. You know, when you build a church, you don't think, okay, I've got 20 people, so I need to build a 20-person hall. You build for the picture that God has given you in mind, and building state-of-the-art children's facilities is building with those families in mind that are going to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior in the coming years. And Kingdom Culture Church, I can see you becoming a beacon in this area on the north side of Brisbane, like a moth to a flame, as you rise up and you step out in faith and you follow through on the plans that God has put before you. I believe that people will come. You know, God responds to faith. God responds when we step out. So often we wait and we think, you know, I'll step out when this happens. But, you know, God responds as we step out in faith. Tonight I'm going to be preaching from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. Hey, does anyone actually have a physical Bible here tonight? You know, one of the trends of 2019, you know, I'm punching 40 soon, so I really believe I'm in touch with the young crowd, is, what are you laughing at? No, I'm just joking. It's physical, hard, bring your Bible, bring your hard copy Bible, bring your notebook to church, actually write down your notes rather than putting them in your iPad, iPhone, whatever you've got, because I know how hard it is, how easy it is for me to slip over to Instagram when I should be listening. And if it's that hard for me, I believe for you. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 1, and it goes on to say, one day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, my husband who served you is dead. And you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you? Elisha asked. Tell me, what do you have in the house? Nothing at all except. Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil. She replied, and Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends, from your neighbors. Borrow as many empty vessels as you can. Bring them into your house and pour the olive oil from your flask into jars, setting each one aside when it is filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to her sons. There aren't any more, he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. You know, tonight I want to preach on the subject, something from nothing. Something from nothing. You see, just before we get to chapter 4, we read about Elisha, and he's working with the king of Israel, the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. And they're going up to attack the king of Moab and his army. And Elisha comes in, and Elisha gives them a word for how they should go about and do their business, you know, carry out the war. And the war is successful. And then as soon as that war is over, we don't see Elisha being celebrated like he should in the king's palace. We don't see Elisha, you know, receiving gold and fame and glory. We don't see him draped in kingly robes, but we see him in back with his school of prophets and welcoming this poor widow. And this widow comes to Elisha, and her husband was one of his ministry team. Her husband was one of the prophets that journeyed with him, a part of the school of prophets, and had given his life to God. Not just given his life and carried out his life, but he actually gave everything over to follow the call of God that's on his life. And then in an untimely way, he ended up passing away, and he'd accrued some manner of debt so great that this widow couldn't pay it off. And when this widow comes to him and she's talking to Elisha, and she says, I've got this debt that I just can't pay off. How would you have felt if Elijah had said to you, Elisha, what have you got? Because obviously this widow has nothing. She has nothing to pay the debt off. She has nothing at all. But she has one thing left. She sold all her furniture. She sold her LCD TV. She sold her Xbox. She sold her PlayStation 3000, whatever we're running with at the moment. She's got nothing in the house except a little bit of oil. You see, I remember, I alluded to it earlier, when about 12 months ago, you know, we were going through a season of not knowing what the future held for us. And it was at that point that I felt emotionally, mentally, physically empty. I mean, empty. I mean, if someone came up to me and just needed a hand or just wanted someone to listen to them, I, honest to God, didn't have anything to give. My life had been poured out and I just had nothing to give. And this is how that woman felt. You know, her husband had passed away and she'd grieved and poured out her grief as an offering. And then as she's getting over that, the creditors come and they take everything that she owns and has walked away and left with a threat that these men are going to come back and steal her two sons. This woman truly had nothing, absolutely nothing. And it was in this moment that Elisha asks her, what do you have? And she replies, nothing but. Nothing but a little oil. Now, oil in the Bible represents, and I probably don't need to tell you this, but it represents the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The third person of the Trinity. Now, the Holy Spirit, when Jesus was walking here on earth and he was physically here, he was physically walking in Israel. He lived and he died and he was crucified And on the third day, he rose again. And then for 40 days, he walked and talked and spent time with his disciples. And then at the end of that time, he ascended up into heaven to be on the right hand of the Father. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, once when he was eating with them, this is in that 40-day period, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. I don't know what your 2018 has been like. I don't know if you've had the best year or the worst of years. I don't know what your marriage was like in 2018. It may have been the best of years or it may have been the worst of years. I don't know what your workplace was like or your job was like in 2018. It may have been the best of years. It may have been the worst of years. You could have been like me and walked into 2018 feeling completely empty, completely void, spiritually done. And I felt like I had nothing. Tonight you might have walked into this place and you feel like you have nothing. But I got to tell you, you don't have nothing. You have nothing but. You have nothing but. Come on, let's give God a hand tonight. You have nothing but a little bit of oil. A little bit of oil. You have the very presence of the Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, living inside of you. You have the oil of heaven living inside of you. You see, this passage may have been written thousands of years ago, and the Bible might seem old and stuffy to you, but the Bible is alive and active, and what we're reading tonight applies to us here today. And I want to be able to talk to us really quickly about how we can set up our 2019 to be a year like never before. You know, and the first thing that we notice, if you're taking notes tonight, with this widow, what did she do? She ran to the right place. Where do you run? When your life is shattered, when everything is too hectic, when you've got work and uni, when you've got everything happening, where do you run? When your life is empty and you have nothing left to give, where do you run? You know, when I was a young boy, we grew up in a part of South Australia called the Murray Mallee. And we grew up in this tiny, I spent a few years living in this tiny little town of about 12 people. And in this town of 12 people, my dad owned the general store. You know, general stores are amazing because they're general. They sell a bit of everything. And I really lived the dream growing up in this general store. I could have as many fruit boxes as I wanted. I could have as many donuts as I wanted. My dad would make these deep-fried Mars bars. May have contributed somewhat to this today. But we had this really big gum tree, like these massive gum trees that were over the road. And at the top of this gum tree lived this demonic, possessed from hell magpie. This magpie, oh my goodness. See, I wasn't the stunning man you see today. I had this really bright red hair. I imagine it looked like tongues of fire. I had this amazing red hair, and the magpie seemed to love my red hair. And as I walked out the front of the store to catch the school bus, get in the car, do whatever it was that a young Phil does, this demonic magpie with his red eyes, it would see me and it would barrel down and it would take a piece of my scalp with it. There's a little bit of pain and bitterness still there. You may feel it. And then one day this magpie was scaring off the customers so much that my dad called the police out. This is the 80s. And so the policeman blocked off the road. I mean, there was no traffic anyway. I don't know why he had to do that. And he leant over his bonnet with a shotgun. And he was going to take out this magpie. And the magpie wouldn't come. This magpie was on to Sergeant Button, or whatever his name was. He knew it was going down. He knew it was up. So my dad had a great plan. He knew what this magpie just couldn't resist. My dad knew this magpie couldn't resist little red-headed Phil. So at about 10 a.m. in the morning, it was a beautiful sunny day. My dad dragged me. I didn't really know what was going on. He just said, come with me, let's go for a walk. I want you to stand in the middle of the road. And I looked up at my dad, trusting, loving. I had no idea what was going on. And within about 2 seconds, the demonic magpie saw me from its perch high up near Hades. And it flew down like a jet bomber, and it was coming down, and it was coming down, and the policeman had it lined up with his shotgun, and boof, he missed. The magpie came down, took a big chunk of my scalp, and went back up to the tree. At that point, I ran inside, and I ran to my mum. God bless my mum. My mum's called Heather as well, so beautiful name. My mum. Wrapped my legs around my mum, and I just said, Mum, don't let Dad take me anymore. When the chips were down, when life was tough, I always knew I could run to my mum. I always knew I had my mum. But you know, I couldn't do that now. It would be a little bit weird if I ran to my mum every time an unexpected bill came in, or every time the kids didn't listen to me and were running around like little ferals. No, God bless my children, they're beautiful. It gets to a point in your life where you have to depend on someone or something bigger than you, and it can't be your mum anymore, and it has to be God. Where do you run when life gets tough? Where do you run when things get hectic? Where do you go? You have to run to God. You have to run to God. When life gets busy, we start skipping church maybe just once a week. I'll just go next week. I'll skip my reading or my devotion this morning. I'll skip my time with God because I've just got too much on. We can't be skipping the presence of God, because in the presence of God is everything. In the presence of God, there is completeness. You know, when I was feeling at my lowest, emotionally and spiritually empty, I would put on an album that my wife introduced to me. This is about 12 or 18 months ago. And these words, to be loved is to be loved by you. I won't sing it. To be loved is to be loved by you. When I was at my bottom, when I was at my emptiest, I'd put on Kingdom Culture Worship. True story. And I would listen to abide over and over and over. To be loved is to be loved by you. I run to the presence of God. Run to the presence of God. Run to the presence of God. Don't walk away from Him. Don't let 2019 or 2018 be the time that you walked away from God, but run to Him. Put the worship back on. Get your Bible out. Be in church. It was at that time that I made that decision. That was awkward, sorry. Please, really enthusiastic clapping, keep it up. Yes, it really does help a preacher when you're responsive. I didn't want you to feel like I wasn't appreciating that. Thank you very much. And it was at my lowest point that Sarah and I made the decision, we're going to go to Holy Spirit Conference and we're going to get a word from God. And who should I be sitting next to but a young man with a poor beard, yet very well dressed, Pastor Rob. No, I'm talking obviously about Pastor Fred. Pastor Fred and Pastor Rob, and we got to know each other a little bit while we were, you know, just hanging out at Holy Spirit Conference. And then on the last day, Pastor Rob came to me and said, I've got a word for you. Poof. Imagine if I'd retreated in myself. If I'd made the decision to run back to what was familiar, or to run to my Instagram to see what people thought of me and my own social approval. Imagine if I'd run to my credit cards to make sure I've got enough money to buy the things that will make me happy. I chose instead to run to God. In 2019, don't walk away from God. Don't walk away from the Holy Spirit and that oil that is in you. But when things get tough, run to the right place. Run to Him. Second point, recognize what you have. When we finally get to that place of rock bottom, when we finally get to that place where we're out of options, it's only then that we begin to turn to God sometimes. I remember when I first moved to Adelaide. See, I grew up in a small country town. I just alluded to it earlier. I moved to Adelaide for Bible college, and I just got in my car, heard from God, and moved down to Adelaide. It's about an 8-hour drive. And at the end of my first term, the principal came to me and he said, "Phil, we love having you here and we believe you've got a call of God, but you haven't paid your fees. You haven't paid anything. And if you want to be a part of Bible college, unfortunately, you have to pay your way." And I had nothing. I had no money. I was just a young, foolish 35-year-old. I was 20 years old. And I'd made this decision to run down, to go to Bible college. I'd heard from God, but I hadn't planned or put any thought into how that might actually work, financially speaking. And I remember on that last week of Bible college in the first term, driving back to where I was staying and just crying out to God, you know, in tears. "I know you've called me here. I know this is where you want me to be. I know this is my place. Won't you please provide?" I cried out to God, and I remember as I was driving up the hill, and I remember driving past the Mazda dealership, someone rang me up, and they just, as we were just chatting, someone from my past, and he said, "Hey, Phil, I hear you're at Bible college. I just believe I heard from God that, I want to pay for your first year of Bible college." Miracle from heaven, because I came after God. When we are all out of options, we go after God. We need to recognize what we have. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 26, "Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those that think they're wise." You know, God doesn't call the person with the greatest share portfolio. God doesn't call the person with the greatest real estate portfolio. God doesn't call the person with the highest level of education. God calls the one that recognizes what they have and are humble in spirit. God doesn't recognize you for what you do or who you are. God recognizes you because you've got the living God living inside of you. All through the Bible, we see heroes that God used powerfully who had nothing. God uses the slave to save a nation. God uses the weakest man to beat the strongest army. God uses the shepherd to defeat the giant. God uses a virgin to birth the Savior. God uses a fisherman to build His church. And in 2019, God will use you if you open your heart and allow Him to do so. God will use Kingdom Culture Church to be a beacon to the north side of Brisbane. You see, we live in a society which tells us that wealth and accumulation are the measurement of success, but and happiness and the ability to be used by God. But in Western countries like Australia, we see suicide rates like never before. We don't need more things. We need more of the Holy Ghost in our lives. God says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness." And Paul says, "When I am weak, He is strong." When we have nothing, we can be full. When we have nothing, we can be full of the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, we have nothing. The world doesn't need another person full of stuff. The world doesn't need another yacht owner. If you do have a yacht, God bless you and invite me on. I'd love to go out. Yes, hand applause. No. God doesn't need more stuff. He needs more people filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to see what happens here in church to go out beyond these four walls. We need to see the north side of Brisbane impacted and touched for the glory of God. We need to see prophecies, words of knowledge, miracles, healings flowing out of this place into your workplaces, into your universities. Because what happens in here just isn't enough. It needs to go beyond the four walls. The third point and final point, release what you have. The widow's oil was never meant for just her. It was through the oil that the community was impacted. And the oil and the Holy Ghost that you have inside of you, the oil, the Holy Ghost that you have here at KCC doesn't belong just here. This is the place where you come together and get full, but to take that out into your workplaces, into your universities, into your schools, into wherever it is that you go and do life. I can see people who are lined up at Coles or Woolies, whatever is your preference, and you're about to pay, and you just get word of knowledge from God and impact that person. I can see people paying for their petrol, and God gives you a word of knowledge for the person on the pump. What happens and the spirit that we have doesn't belong just here. You see, the world may seem dark and gloomy. It may seem like things aren't going well. But the reality is, and if the band could come, that would be fantastic, that when Jesus taught us how to pray, he said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You see, we're not meant to just merely wait out until God returns or until we pass away. We're not merely meant to just sit and be idle, but God has called us to bring heaven to earth. You know, it's not just enough to sit and wait and think Jesus will be coming back soon. Then everything will be done. We can't do that. We've got a mission and a mandate to release the gifting and the anointing that is on this place, that is on you, into your community, into your workplace, into your family, into every aspect of your life. Jesus also tells us in Luke chapter 6 that a tree is known by its fruit, and that fruit are actions. Quite often we say, "When I get this, I'll finally be happy." Sometimes we wait until we hear the perfect will of God or a voice to come down from heaven to give us direction. We wait until we have all that we need and then we step out. But miracles, I'm not talking about things that can be explained away in the natural. I'm talking about supernatural breakthrough. Miracles don't happen unless we step out. Peter didn't walk on water until he stepped away from the boat. The crowd wasn't fed until the children gave some loaves and fishes. The Red Sea wasn't parted until Moses held out his staff. The miracle is activated by action through faith. The widow had nothing but. The young boy had nothing but. When we take our nothing and we give it to God, he turns it into something miraculous. Won't you stand with me tonight? ...2019 is waiting for you. 2019 is waiting for you. Your workplace is waiting for you. Your university is waiting for you to carry the presence of God, the anointing oil that is in you, to them. To see a move of God happen, it has to go beyond the four walls of this church. The miracle has to be more than Pastor Fred and Pastor Rob and the ministry team here. It doesn't stop at the edge of the platform. The miracle happens through you. You are the ones that are going to be laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. You are the ones that are going to be giving words of prophecy and seeing people saved to get to know Jesus and have their eternity changed forever. I believe with all my heart that the north side of Brisbane can be shaken by the power of God. I can believe with all of my heart that we can see a massive revival sweep through this entire place. But it won't happen just through Pastor Rob. It'll happen through you. It'll happen through you. It'll happen through you. And tonight, I don't know what your 2018 was like, but I got to tell you, your 2019 is going to be another level. And if you're believing that for your family, if you're believing that for your community, if you're believing it for your university, and you want to be filled with the Spirit, if you're feeling a little bit dry, if you're feeling a little bit empty, we're going to go into worship in just a moment. And I would love it if you come and meet me at the front. I would love to lay hands on you and pray for you and see a deposit of the Holy Spirit go into your life. Because with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do the miraculous. We can see things change. In 2018, there's families. There was frustration in families. There was a butting of heads, husband and wife, parents and children. I believe there's anointing in this place tonight for restoration of families. I believe tonight, if that's you tonight, in a moment when we go into worship, why don't you come and join me? I'd love to pray for you. 2019 is going to be the year that we see breakthrough. 2019 is going to be the year of the fulfillment of the promise. Ben, won't you lead us tonight? Won't you lead us tonight, Ben? And as we worship the Savior of heaven, won't you step out of your seats and come and join me at the front?